Bill Flores joins us this morning in studio. Good morning, Bill.
Howdy, Scott. Great to be with you again on News Talk 1620.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you very much.
One of the things we talked about in our political segment today is the Chamber of Commerce banquet earlier this week. We talked about how kind of we're in a bubble, and that's nice because our economy is diverse and it's strong, and there are a lot of people around us who aren't experiencing that. But I kind of want to draw the same parallel politically to what we have today. You end up with the 80% mandate here within your congressional district, but the state of Texas in the Texas House races, and then also the U.S. House races. I mean, it was not a good night for the Republican Party as a whole.
Well, it wasn't, particularly in the Senate. And, of course, we lost the race for the White House. In the House of Representatives itself, it looks like we're going to be somewhere down 3 to 5 seats to maybe even. I know that there were three, when there's a variety of races where we were either playing defense or offense, we're down 3 in that group of races. And there are another 13 races that were too close to call as of 4 o'clock this morning.
You know, just a couple of things that jumped out at me before we started. We talked about how Alan West is in the fight for his life, and at least right now is not leading. It's too close to call. But, you know, this guy was a firebrand. He was a conservative Republican, a veteran. He had a lot of things that somehow appealed to the electorate 2 years ago, but don't now.
Well, two things happened there. One, Florida's redistricting process was an absolute disaster. Even though Republicans controlled the state house, they did some amazingly bad things, and they put Alan West in a district that was going to be very challenging for him to win. They paired up Sandy Adams versus another long-term incumbent, and Sandy was one of my freshman colleagues that lost. I don't know what the Florida state house was thinking about, but they put a lot of incumbents in challenging positions. That said, the outside interest groups came in and just leveled heavy fire at Alan West, and very unfairly, in my view.
Well, and you can speak to this. Again, you're in a shielded situation because this is a very conservative area. But I guess after that first term, that's the most vulnerable that a member of the House is going to be, because he probably was not able to enact any legislation that would have made a difference. And those first termers quite often are the point of attack.
That's correct. Always, as a freshman, at the end of your freshman term, you're the most vulnerable. And particularly after redistricting, it takes that level of vulnerability and amplifies it upwards. So if you look at the class of 100 that came in the 2010 cycle, 89 Republicans and 11 Democrats, we were all very vulnerable. And particularly after this redistricting year. Fortunately, I think most of the Republicans are coming back. I haven't been following the Democrats as well, so I think at least 75 to 80 of us are coming back, but 10 of us are going to lose and go somewhere else.
You know, interesting, Missouri was an interesting situation. Presidential race is carried by the Republican, but Claire McCaskill is able to come back and hold on to her seat.
And that was a give me for us, but again, we had a candidate who didn't pay attention to what he was saying, and that's a common pitfall for politicians. And particularly, we have to understand, particularly those of us that are conservatives, that there are lightning rod questions we're going to be given, and we need to make sure that we've got our answer down right in such a way so that we don't offend anybody. And Todd clearly didn't exercise that forethought well, and it cost us that sentence, which was ours.
Yeah. And Murdoch, the same thing. I mean,
same thing with Murdoch.
Same
exactly.
Situation. So now today, light of day, the Republican Party has to be fractured and second-guessing. I mean, the Tea Party supporters are going to say that the party should have nominated somebody more conservative. The moderates are going to say that the Tea Party, or the primary process, pushed Mitt Romney too far right. And then you've got probably the thing, I was looking at numbers this morning, Mitt Romney did very well with whites.
Mm-hmm.
But when it came to ethnics, he lost 40% among the Hispanics, 50% among the Asians, and 80% among the African-Americans. What does the Republican Party do at this point?
Well, to me, we have really got to make our outreach messaging better than it is. I mean, if you go poll among the African-American community, you will find that about 60% of them will self-identify as being conservative. Believe it or not. I mean, these are true
facts. I understand that.
But we are making no attempts to try to connect their thoughts toward faith and conservative values with the values that we all hold dear. We need to make an outreach. I think it's a shame that we only get 20% or less of the African American vote. The Hispanic vote, same thing. We do very poor in our outreach because when we start talking about immigration, the first thing we say is, you know, we got to deport everybody. Well, that may or may not be true, but to me, you start out with saying, what is it that unites us with the Hispanic community? And again, it's faith in God. It's creating an opportunity society, particularly for our children and grandchildren. Those are the things that we need to focus on and actually take aggressive steps to have outreach instead of trying to be distasteful from the very first statement. Right.
And then if you add the Asian community, strong educational, again, to paint with a broad brush, but strong educational values and strong family values there, again, that should connect to the Republican Party.
It should, and I can't tell you what our outreach has been with the Asian community because up until recently it has been too small to really start tracking separately. Right. Now that you can, I think that we need to have an all-out push to try to connect with all, not with groups, let's say with all Americans. Because, again, I think there are more Americans that self-identify as conservative than any other ideology. And so irrespective of their background or their race, we need to be trying to do all we can to connect on them the messaging of our values, particularly our economic values and our opportunity values.
So today is, I guess, the day where you go in and you do a damage assessment as a party. What happens as far as the Republican Party today?
Well, let me tell you what we're doing in the House. I can't tell you what's going to happen over in the Senate, but in the House, we have a conference call among the GOP conference this afternoon. And we'll talk about there could be some postmortem discussion. I wouldn't think that would be fairly short. But more importantly, we're going to focus on what do we do going forward. You clearly have two different visions for America, and you saw that last night in the vote for the White House. About 50% of America voted for Mitt Romney, and about 50% voted for Barack Obama. So we've got and that reflects the ideological divide that you find in the Senate and in the House, because it's an ideological divide of the electorate. So you have to try to figure out where are you going to find the middle ground between this big government, this group of voters that believes in big government solutions, and the group of us that believe that the private sector and the American family offer far superior solutions for opportunities for our kids and grandkids.
Bob Schieffer mentioned it last night in the CBS coverage. Obviously, we had no idea until today that the president having an opportunity to be bipartisan and presidential because of Sandy made a stronger image than Mitt Romney talking about being bipartisan. No doubt his walking through the streets with Chris Christie made a difference. So, and Schieffer asked the question, what's wrong with bipartisan? Isn't that what we're supposed to be able to do? How do we begin to bridge that gap because of the divide and the separation?
Well, first of all, let me say there's nothing wrong with bipartisan. But there is, but when bipartisan means that you've got to somehow find a way to believe in the values of big government solutions, I'm going to have a hard time with that. And I can tell you my Democratic colleagues on the other side of the aisle are going to have a hard time believing that private sector, Main Street types of job solutions are going to be the key to the future. So we're going to continue to reach out. We're going to continue to find pro-growth solutions. Think about what the president said at the end of his speech last night, his acceptance speech. He said he wanted to reduce the deficit. He wanted to have tax reform. He wanted to have energy security and wanted to have a strong defense. Well, I'm all in. Now, how do we get there?
Exactly.
I mean, because nothing.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing he's done up to this point it reflects any of what he said last night. His foreign policy has been a failure. We've seen that in Libya. His economy and jobs policy has been a failure. His fiscal policy has been a failure. And his energy policy has been a failure. So, maybe because he's going to have more flexibility in his second term, he's going to do something differently. I would hope he would be more like Bill Clinton than Schiff, but I'm not terribly optimistic. We're going to try hard, but I'm not optimistic.
You're one member, but it is within your first 2 years, you have been able to certainly elevate yourself beyond your seniority in that you have a connection with leadership that a lot of first-termers don't have. You are a member of the Hispanic Caucus.
Yes, sir.
So as one member of Congress, what do you believe that Bill Flores is going to be able to do to try to either guide your party to be more successful, to be more encompassing, or to find some way that we can move forward?
Well, a couple of things that I'm going to try to do in order to be more effective, not only for my constituents, but also for the country as a whole, is to elevate myself to a more powerful committee. I'm hoping that'll happen. We're going to send out our first packages on that today. The second thing is I'm going to try to sit down with our leadership and talk about my views about what happened and see if I can get us to assume a slightly different direction as we go forward. I think John Boehner has done a good job given the playing field that he had. I mean, a lot of people don't like him, but if you were to put yourself in his shoes and say, okay, you're now the Speaker of the House, you've got to deal with Harry Reid, you've got to deal with Barack Obama, and at the same time, you can't have chaos coming out of Washington. I think he did a good job of that. Now, did he make all perfect decisions? No. He's just like the rest of us as humans. He didn't. But I would like to try to have, hopefully, by sitting down and having an audience with him, you know, give my input on ways I think we might be able to do this slightly better than the way he did. And again, I'm not being critical of him. I'm just saying that I think, you know, now that we have had this election, we might be able to do it slightly better.
Well, the good thing is we wake up today in a congressional district that is doing well. We wake up in a state that has a diverse economy and is doing well. And let's hope that at least we can maybe bring some other things around that will work well.
Well, we are fortunate. We live in a great state, and Texas District 17, like you say, is doing very well.
Yep, that's it. Thanks again for the time this morning, Bill.
Hey, glad to be with you. I'd ask our listeners to continue praying for our country, our military men and women, and our first responders.
Bill Flores here this morning on News Talk 1620.